Hello, y'all, and welcome to the Pittsburgh Pirates Rant Podcast for a Thursday, hot summer day. At least here in the mountains, it tops out at about 91 degrees, and I'm sitting in the shade, and I can stand it for a little while. I mean, it's a little hard to breathe if you're trying to do something. And if you're moving around, you're going to get swamp ass or duck butter or whatever you want to call it. It's not the best weather. Next week, actually, things are getting back to normal, cooling off a little bit. The Pirates are actually done their homestand. And I don't know, I think they finished like 3 wins and 4 losses on the homestand. It was Phillies and the Brewers. And they got swept in 4 games by the Phillies, and then they swept the Brewers. Now, and I went to some of those games, so that was nice. I was in Pittsburgh for all of it. As far as the Brewers go, I think we could very well be seeing the end of this attempted run. I don't know a lot about their general manager, but I know that he's pretty highly thought of in baseball ranks, and that he was considering taking like a higher job with the office, with like the Major League Baseball office, after he was finished in Milwaukee. And this was possibly the last run. And the problem with Milwaukee is, number one, they're probably at the max of their payroll of where they're ever going to go. Number two, they have 3 great starting pitchers, but those guys are starting to wear down this year. Last year, they had a really good chance in the playoffs, but they didn't hit a lick. And this year, those guys are wearing down. I mean, actually, the Pirates pitchers are doing well right now, probably because they were not extended far into games in April and May. You know, and as much as people were hating on the manager for doing that, and he screwed up with Bednar, you know, pitching him too many innings, and he screwed up with the lefty, who's on the disabled list again, who got off to a great start, you know, throwing him too many innings. You know, he was using the bullpen too many innings. These piggyback guys weren't ready for that. But at least he didn't extend the starters, and these guys are still pitching well. And we haven't had a lot of injuries with starting pitching. Now, the Brewers did not do that. The Brewers were pitching these guys 7-8 innings into games. And it's 2 years after the pandemic. And, you know, it seems to be affecting those guys. If you saw how they did against the Pirates, I mean, they're having trouble finding the plate. They're having trouble finding their spots. They're just not quite as dominant as they have been in recent years. So if we're talking Milwaukee Brewers, you could very well see them not make the playoffs this year. And here's why. The Cardinals went out and got Quintana, so they got a little bit better. The Phillies went out and got a starter. No, I don't think he's great. Quintana might even be better. But they went out and got Thor. But they also got a very, very good bullpen arm from the Cubs. So I could see the Phillies getting the wild card, the Cardinals getting the division, and the Brewers being the odd team out. And if that's the case, this could be the last year at general manager for this Brewers guy. They might bring another guy in and have a fire sale. Does that help the Pittsburgh Pirates? It might help their record next year because it's one less good team. You know, the Cardinals will still be good. But you figure the Cubs and the Reds will probably be maybe a little bit better next year. You know, so I think however it helps the Pittsburgh Pirates is somewhat nominal, you know. But if you like to hate the Brew Crew, which I know a lot of people do, because the Brewers have done really well against the Pirates over the last, really since 1815. I'm a coin collector, so I always think these old dates. Not 1815, not 1915. Since 2015, the Brewers have pretty much owned the Pirates, except for this last series that they just played in PNC Park. So that could be one thing that's happening in the division. The Cubs are starting to get their starting pitchers healthy a little bit. I know that Marcus Stroman pitched okay yesterday, even though he, you know, later in the game, he gave up a big blow to the first baseman for the Cardinals, who's a monster, you know. So, you know, you can't blame him for that. He actually got, like, close to a quality start. as the Cubs' starting pitchers start getting healthier, they are probably going to get better again because they want to draw fans because they make so much money on beer sales and stuff like that, that they're probably going to do some signings in the off season. You know, they're not going to be willing to do a long rebuild like in Pittsburgh and in Cincinnati because their fans aren't going to stand for it, and they make a lot of money in that town, and the team has a lot of money. So the Cubs could step into that Brewers role, you know, sooner than later if they sign some free agents. Maybe they even sign some of the guys that the Brewers let go. And then as far as the Reds and the Pirates go, I honestly don't know too much about the Reds minor league system. But I think that the Reds minor league system is outperforming the Pirates minor league system at least a little bit right now. And they were able to get some guys back in the trade deadline. So I think the closest thing you're going to see is the Reds and Pirates are going to be pretty close to each other. The Brewers could potentially drop behind those two clubs in a couple years. And then I think the Cardinals and Cubs will be the teams like near the top of the division. That's at least how I honestly think about it, you know, looking at it right now, things playing out. I know Pirate fans are kind of weird because they love to hate on Van Meter. But, you know, Van Meter is only like 11 months older than Bly Madris. And they both equally suck. You know, Bly Madris actually has a worse OPS than Van Meter. Cal Mitchell is just as bad as those guys, you know. He's got a under 600 OPS. He's got a bad arm in the outfield. Like, I don't know why Pirates fans give certain guys a pass just because they're rookies. And it's not all Pirates fans, but it's a lot of these guys that follow, like, some of the podcasts that just love all rookies, you know, and hate all the guys that are playing on the team. You got to realize that most of these guys are 4A players and will never be good. Though they're pretty much Van Meter, you know, in a couple years. Guys like Cal Mitchell, guys like Bly Madris, potentially guys like Swaggerty, potentially guys like Ji-Won Bae. You know, there's no reason to think that those guys are going to be good players. Now, it's not to say that you won't find some good players. It's just usually not the guys that you pick up for free, or, you know, the first round picks of the Pirates have not had a great track record. But I could very well see Marcano, if they stick to him as an infielder, not an outfielder, because that's what he is, as an infielder. If Marcano is your second baseman and he picks up shortstop and even third base once in a while, that's a nice player to have, I think, you know, as long as he keeps hitting at least 250, 260, you know, because his defense is actually really slick. So you may have found a player there. Jack Suwinski is actually a nice slugger, you know. He plays a good defense. He goes into slumps. He's hot and cold. But he's a guy that could hit you 25 home runs a year, and the Pirates could use a guy like that, even if he only bats like 210. And strikes out 200 times a year. You know, for now, that's a left fielder that you could use. So that's a find, you know. So you might go through all of these rookies and only find one or two players, because that's the way it works, you know. So if you're talking about the guys that are maybe the next step, you know, guys that are in Altoona right now, Henry Davis, Nick Gonzalez, Liover Peguero, you might get only one out of those three that turns out to be a good player, you know? And I'm really not sure which one it's going to be. I mean, Henry Davis has had trouble staying healthy, but if he hits well, he could potentially be a decent first baseman. Nick Gonzalez is smallish, you know, but if he hits enough, he could be a decent second baseman. And, I mean, he might be about the same as Marcano, you know? Maybe he's a little worse than Marcano. Maybe he's a little better than Marcano. I don't know. And Liver Peguero is not a good defender. But if he hits enough, he could be a good designated hitter for this squad. Now, will any of those guys pan out? I don't know. You know, another guy that's not looking good so far is the guy that's got a lot of fanfare is Jared Jones. He's got an over 5 ERA. He got lit up again the other night, you know. Just because this guy throws hard doesn't mean he's going to make it or even going to stay healthy for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you certainly can't pencil in guys like Jared Jones or even guys that are hitting the ball really well in high A like Andy Rodriguez. You really have to wait and see how he does in double A. And you have to look no further than Matt Frazier, who was literally the MVP of the league last year in high A. He hit for average, he hit for power, his OPS was through the roof, and he's been terrible this year. He's starting to come around a little bit, but he hasn't been good, you know? Guys like Hudson Head are a long shot. It's not likely that this guy's going to pan out. And out of the four guys that you drafted, let me throw Henry Davis in there. But out of the other four, which are the guy you drafted from Penn State, Braylon Bishop, Anthony Solometto, and Bubba Chandler, you may only get one of those guys who's a decent major leaguer, you know. We've had serious health issues with Lonnie White Jr. It's way too early to say what Braylon Bishop is going to do. Anthony Solometto has been okay. Bubba Chandler has been a terrible batter, but he throws really hard, you know. So if this guy stays healthy, he could be a really good pitcher, you know. I mean, he could even be like, his ceiling would be like a Gerrit Cole, but it's also a good chance he might not make it, like a Shane Baz, you know, because maybe he'll just tear up his arm. Or he might be a good bullpen arm like Bednar. But Bednar is injured right now, and his back issues may be chronic, you know. That's the problem with lower back issues. I mean, they misused him early in the year. Then they rushed him back, and of course he got hurt again. I mean, they really need to be careful with Bednar this time around because they haven't been careful. Maybe they just wanted to trade him and make sure he got back out there to prove himself. But he was hurt at the deadline, so no one was going to trade for Bednar, at least not give you what you wanted. And now, you know, now you're really going to have to rest him probably in the entire month of August if you're going to do the right thing with Bednar. But you really start having to, you got to have to think about this as like an actual realist and not, you know, all of these prospects are going to pan out and we should give them all a chance. You know, I mean, there's certain guys that just aren't major league talents. And the guys we've seen already that just aren't major league talents are, I don't know, certainly a guy like Hui Park, guys like Bly Madris, guys like Cal Mitchell, guys like another guy who's back in the minors now, another really nice guy, but maybe just not a good quality, a good enough quality to be a major leaguer, is a guy I kind of warned you about last year. The heck is that guy's name? You know who I'm talking about. We got him in the same trade as Hui Park. Diego Castillo. Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's probably not a major leaguer, you know? The biggest problem I have is what I've told you guys for quite a while now is that the minor league guys are not performing. I mean, I literally went through all the teams. Now, half the guys are hurt. But if you go through just a couple of pitchers, Michael Burrows and Quinn Priester, guys that I really like, there's not much else, you know. Gorski got hurt. There is a guy down in Bradenton who's doing really well. And he's a guy that actually was pointed out by Anthony. And I could bring him up. Guy who did really well yesterday. If I just pull up the Pirates organization, let me just pull up Bradenton, and I'll show you how, like, most of the Bradenton Marauders are underperforming. All right, so here's yesterday's box score. The one guy that's doing really well in Bradenton from a hitting perspective is, actually, I forget about that. He's in Greensboro right now. Jace Bowen is doing okay for Bradenton. But he's a little old for that league. We'd like to see him in high A. Ching is not doing much. And none of these other guys are doing anything. Mikel Escoto has been a real disappointment. We got him in a trade, but he really hasn't done much. This guy that I'm talking about is actually a Greensboro guy. A guy who's having a good year is Dariel Lopez. And again, he was a guy that was sort of discovered by Anthony of 2.5 Gringos. He has some shoddy defense, like other guys we've seen, like Leover Peguero. But with the stick, for a 20-year-old in Greensboro, he's doing really, really well. Now, keep in mind, we've been disappointed by this before, you know. But this guy's power is developing in Greensboro. He's got 19 home runs. He's batting .291, and his OPS is .842 in 333 at-bats. That's really good. So he is a guy that you could say, all right, you know what, Dariel Lopez is doing good. But there's been a lot of disappointing players as well, you know. Andy Rodriguez is doing good, very good. He's a little older than Dariel Lopez. Let me just check what his age is. It should give me his exact. Yeah, he's 22. So he's a little older. But, you know, we'll have to see how he does in Double A. Hudson Head has not been good. He's been a real disappointment. There's a guy, Ordonez, has been disappointing. Jackson Glenn, who we got in the draft, has been really disappointing. And Fajardo is a little old for the league. And then if I pull up Altoona, there's certainly a lot of guys that have been disappointing there. And the most disappointing is probably Leover Peguero. You know, he just hasn't been able to put it together this last month. And he's dropped his ops all the way from close to 900 to under 700. And when you look at all the, they're actually playing him at DH now because there was just so many errors. If you look at all the errors, you know, he's been a major disappointment, you know. Not as bad as Matt Frazier, but he was a little bit of a higher pick. So to see him at a 699 OPS is really disappointing, you know. Playing a DH with all those errors, you know, it's not good. Matt Frazier batting .230 with a .662 OPS is really disappointing, you know. Triolo at a .734 OPS is not good, you know. It's just not good enough to think that, hey, maybe this guy is going to be good in the next level. There's a couple older guys that have done okay. Connor Scott has been not good, you know. His OPS is back down around 700. Hard to imagine him being a major league player. The guys that are better are Alvarez, Shackelford, and Blake Sable. But all of those guys are a little bit older. Alvarez is generally not thought to be a prospect because he's 25 years old in AA. He's a short guy, you know, and he doesn't have a ton of power, although he does have some speed. So if you look at Andres Alvarez at 25 years old, I wouldn't rule him out. You know, he's just not the kind of guy that makes prospect lists because he's 25 years old. But the reason I wouldn't rule him out is because he's got 17 home runs. He's got 18 stolen bases. He's got an .865 OPS. And this is in Double A, you know. Double A is a lot different than having him do it in Greensboro. Blake Sable is a favorite of all people who watch Altoona. He is currently at an .821 OPS. He can play you some catcher. He can play you some outfield. You know, he can play pretty much, you know, a lot of places on the diamond. But he's only got 12 home runs and 8 stolen bases. And he is 24 years old. So generally not the guy you think of as a prospect. And then Shackelford, because the Pirates don't have many first basemen. You know, I mentioned that he's the guy that they could try out for the team next year. He's 25 years old. He's got 18 home runs with an .817 OPS in AA. Not necessarily worse than Bly Madris, you know, who we're running out there. But I think my point is that we just don't have a lot of guys performing, you know? Like, it's been extremely disappointing for the Pirates minor league system this year. And it's just something that not a lot of the other podcasts touch on, you know, because it's not a popular point of view, you know? If you're not really paying attention, like Louisiana Ted and like Cody Patanko and like Anthony, guys that are really, really, really paying big time attention, you know, and a handful of other guys on Twitter that really pay attention, you would have noticed that the minor leagues has shit the bed this year. But if you're being honest, the Pirates could be like a 10th best minor league system because of all the injuries and because of guys underperforming, you know, and because of some of the guys, you know, just not doing well in the major leagues that maybe were on prospect. Maybe we were thinking about being prospects before, like Diego Castillo, you know, or Cal Mitchell or someone like that. So, I mean, you have to look at it that way. Like, you have to be performing in the minor leagues to really see this team taking a big step forward in the next couple years, you know? Because we only have that much money, and we only have that many players in the major leagues, you know? So I don't know what's going to happen, but something is going to have to change, you know? We're going to need a better year in the minor league system next year, because this year's minor league system has been really disappointing. And if those guys look themselves in the mirror, they know that to be true, you know? Between injuries and between underperformance, it's been a really disappointing year for guys like Henry Davis and guys like Nick Gonzalez, you know, former number one picks, you know, even guys like Travis Swaggerty, who people thought maybe, you know, could take a step forward now that he's healthy. He looks more like a 4A guy, you know, he'll get his cup of coffee in the major leagues, but he looks like a 4A player, you know. He doesn't look to be as good as someone like Marcano. But who knows, you know. Anything could happen. It just, there's something about Marcano who's just looks like a real good baseball player. It's his slick fielding and his ability to make contact. And like Anthony was saying the other day, great, great base running. Really good instincts on the base pass. So he's not as fast as O'Neill Cruz. But he probably doesn't get caught stealing as much as O'Neill Cruz, you know? Really good instincts on the base paths for Tupacata Marcano or Tucapita Marcano. And he could end up being better than Nick Gonzalez, you know? It could be close. It could go either way. But it could be one of those two guys that end up taking the second base job. Because, I don't know, Jiwon Bae, he hasn't been off the charts in AAA. You know, he's cooled a little bit. I mean, they will call him up at some point when they DFA Van Meter. But I'm just saying to, I wouldn't expect, you know, an all-star showing from Jiwon Bae or a guy who's necessarily going to stick with your team, you know. And what I would say about the Reds, you know, they're right on the same path as the Pirates. But they do have a Rookie of the Year already in Jonathan India. And I think he's gotten healthy lately. I don't know if he stayed healthy or if he got hurt again. But I want to say that he's healthy right now and he's been doing better, you know, now that he's healthy. Let me just pull him up in my fantasy and I'll pull up India because he is a guy who was Rookie of the Year last year, you know. And we know that the Reds have three young starting pitchers. Yeah, Jonathan India, he's batted 306 over the last couple weeks, three home runs, eight RBIs, and 346 in the last week in his last 26 at-bats. He's a really good player. I mean, they already have a proven second baseman. Is he better than O'Neill Cruz? I don't know. I don't know if I would say that for sure, but I do know that he's solid. You know, he's at least a guy like O'Neill Cruz that you could say, all right, we could pencil a guy in there. And the Reds have a couple other guys that they're going to have that are young that they're going to have. I mean, they're at least on the record is the same. They're at least on the same playing field as the Pirates. And their minor league system has performed a little better than the Pirates this year, if you look at it. And I'm sure that those guys, those gringos can look at that and agree. They have a guy named De La Cruz that just hit a home run 540 feet. You know, his home runs are even more impressive than O'Neill Cruz's. And he's their number two prospect. And they've already brought up their top three prospects who were pitchers. And I mentioned them, I think, over the last couple episodes. And you guys know who they are by now. You know, they have three good rookie starting pitchers. Ashcraft, Green, and Nick Lodolo, who the Pirates originally drafted. So I think that's what we're going to see next year. We could see the Brewers in last place. We could see the Pirates and Reds battling it out for third place. And then you could see the Cubs spending a little money to maybe finish second place behind St. Louis. But, hey, it's not next year yet, you know? I mean, we know that there's not much left other than watching the games. It's not next year yet, but it's never too early to look at what next year might bring. So enjoy yourself. It's starting to rain. I'm going inside. The dogs are wet. Peace out.